Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the summer between my freshman and sophomore year of college, some friends and I go whitewater rafting up in the mountains of Colorado, just to the west of Colorado Springs. So we don the wetsuits, we strap on the yellow helmets, and put on and buckle the orange life vests. Our river guide is a short, well-built man from South America with a wispy mustache and just enough of an accent to make you think that you were about to go on a whitewater trip on the Amazon. He hands each of us a fiberglass and plastic paddle, and he arranges us on the left and right sides of the raft according to pulling power, strong and weak, so that everybody's, you know, there's the same pulling power on both sides, so the raft doesn't just kind of spin in circles in the current. And as we sweep down the river, our guide shouts out commands. There's a rock ahead on the right. I need three pulls on the left side. We obey. Everybody on the left side pulling, the right pulling their paddles out of the water. And we avoid disaster again and again. But at one point, though, Tommy, this Roman Catholic kid with a shock of red curly hair on the front, he tumbles out of the raft. And all alone in the current, he thrashes and kicks. But the water course is a little too wild for such lonely swimming, even with a life vest on. And his biceps are burning, and his breath is coming out in heaved, ragged gasps. Man overboard! Shouts our Amazonian guide. We extend a paddle. We pull Tommy back into the boat. He's sputtering, coughing. Makes it finally back into the raft. And we continue our journey down the rapids of the river just to the west of Colorado Springs. Now, sisters and brothers, sometimes we North American Christians imagine the Christian life as a kind of lonely swim down a wild river. We have on our yellow helmets. We've got on our orange life vests of faith. But we assume that the Christian faith is something that we do all alone. We just got the river and me. We talk about our personal relationship with Christ, and we talk about it as if that personal relationship is an individual relationship. When the river curves and a rock looms ahead on the right, we kick and thrash against the current. I've got this! I've got it! We use a little bit of do-it-yourself spirituality. I got it! Okay, I think I'll listen to a few more sermons from my favorite radio preacher or the internet or whatever. I'm going to read a book that I found that looks good and edifying. That'll get me past the rocks. And then life gets a little more dangerous. The river swells white and rapids froth around us. Maybe our bodies begin to cannibalize us, betray us. Things like cancer, terminal illness. Maybe a friend deserts us once and for all. And still we cling to our self-reliance. I got it! I got it! I got it! We grit our teeth and we continue to swim the river in ways that we like. And usually we pick fairly decent things. I mean, radio preachers are not a bad thing. It's good. Books are really good. But we always are in control of what's happening, or we think so. We always are alone. Alone in life's rapids. But there always then comes a point. A point in our individual-centered Christianity when our biceps begin to burn. And our elbows, they begin to feel the weight of an elephant tugging us towards the bottom of the river. Our breaths heave out in saliva-slathered gasps. And even our life vests can't keep the water out of our nose and mouth. Life's water course is too wild for such lonely swimming. And it's usually at these points that despair washes over us. I don't got this. I give up. And so we learn the hard way what St. Paul warns us about in the verses right before our epistle reading. St. Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Individually members one of another. St. Paul knows that we all tend to think that we can accomplish our salvation by ourselves. But the reality is that we cannot be saved by swimming all alone. Individually, members one of another. And so this morning we hear a shout as our biceps are burning, as our breath is coming out in ragged, heaving gasps. "Man overboard!" Fiberglass and plastic paddle stretches our way. "Grab hold!" And the next thing we know, we find ourselves in a raft filled with people. People dressed just like us. They all have on those orange life vests of faith. They all have on that yellow helmet of salvation. And at the back of the raft is a man barking out orders. "Get him a paddle! Sit over there!" He points to an open spot on the left, and we notice a white collar peeping out just above his orange life vest. "All right, we got a rock coming up on the right. I need three pulls on the left." And we watch the people beside us stick their oars into the river, and some pull them out on the right side and pull with the water those on the left. They're all different sizes and shapes with different levels of spiritual fitness. And yet they paddle together. And sisters and brothers, this is the only way that we make it down life without drowning. This is the way that the triune God saves us. You see, while God saves each of us personally, he does not save us individually. He puts us all in his raft. His church. He puts us all in his church to get us to glory. And we each have a paddle, a fiberglass and plastic oar of our own talents and experiences. We all have to pull together at the right time and in the right places. And this is what St. Paul speaks about in our epistle reading this morning. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving, he who teaches, in his teaching, he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who contributes, in liberality, he who gives aid, with zeal, he who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." Everyone has something to do in church, some way to paddle and help the raft maneuver life's rapids. And it's always the Jesus way, true and yet hard love. "Let love be genuine," says St. Paul. "Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good." That's part of love. Pushing away the fear and the darkness and rejoicing in the light. "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." God puts us in a raft with other people for our salvation, where we pray together and eat together. That's the together, always together. Our salvation is personal, but it is worked out in our life together. There is no do-it-yourself Christianity. For our own growth and holiness, we need other people in the church. People who know more than we do, people who know less than we do, people who disagree with us, People who agree with us, people who annoy us, people who need our help, and people who will help us. The triune God gives us each personally, the church, Jesus' body, as a whitewater raft to save us. For our own growth in holiness, for our own growth into Jesus Christ and up in Jesus Christ, we need that crabby old lady with clip-on earrings who judges the young women with pierced ears. True story from way back in the day in Montana. Opportunity for patience. We need the tired rancher who nods off during the sermon and then takes us out for lunch and buys an opportunity for community and friendship. We need the widow giving us a hug. It will always be hard, but the pain will change. An opportunity for love and trust. And we need the priest shouting Jesus' instructions from the back. No, don't sin. There's a rock on the right. Pull on the left side. Pull on the left side. An opportunity for humility. It's not about what I want, but what Jesus wants. For our own growth and holiness, we need the comfort and trials that come from other people. People who are in the same boat as we are. Contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality, says St. Paul. Bless those who persecute you. Sometimes I wonder if they're in church, right? There's running jokes about priests being persecuted by their bishops. All sorts of good stuff, right? It's not always outside. We need people in the church even who disagree with us. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. So sisters and brothers, stay in the boat. Stay in the church. And paddle. Help where you can help. When Jesus yells through the priest, "There's a rock on the right!" Put your oar in the water on the left and paddle. Be willing to help out. Don't just jump into the swift current and try to swim your way alone. You might make a little progress, but eventually you're probably going to run into a rock. Maybe get a tree that's swept down the river, pinning you against it. You'll never make it. Your biceps will burn. Be alone. But God has given us the church to help us grow in salvation. He has given us people around us to listen to us, to encourage us, to rebuke us, and to stand with us in the trials of life. God gives us his life vest, the helmet, but also that whitewater raft, his people. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.